Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk here on March 6th. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, sunny, and actually it's going to be starting to warm up again. It was a little cool yesterday, but boy, we're going to have back in the like high 50s and stuff by middle of the week, so it's going to be great. Let's see. We have actually only one gun show in Michigan right now. That is out at the original Grand Rapids Gun and Knife Show in Grand Rapids at the 4 Mile Showplace. And then I want to mention, now this is only for you members that are Washtenaw Sportsman's Club members, but don't forget tomorrow morning is your Washtenaw Sportsman's garage sale. And so it's for members and guests only. So it's not for the general public, but I do know we have members that are Washtenaw Sportsman's Club members. And so if you want to call in, we can talk about it. But I heard about it from my barber. I was in getting a haircut the other day. Let's see. Ohio's got quite a few. We've got the Springboro Flea Market in Franklin, Ohio, the Tri-State Gun Show in Allen County Fairgrounds in Lima, Ohio, Cincinnati Sharonville Gun Show at the Sharonville Convention Center, and the Warren Niles Gun Show in Warren, Ohio. Missouri has, and I'm not going to go through all 50 states, obviously. I just do the ones where we have groups of listeners. But Missouri has the Springdale Gun Show in Springdale, Arkansas, which must be on the state line at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center. The Phelps County Gun Show in Rolla. The Springfield Gun Show in Springfield, Missouri. And guess what? I got to say, I did find, not for this week, but on March 20th, there's actually going to be a New York gun show. Maybe, you know, they got to give something out there to get people off of the Cuomo governor issues. So maybe they'll let people start having gun shows in New York again. We did get our new numbers here for March, and we are up to 725,987. So almost 726,000 CPL holders in Michigan. And the pending number is down to 9,400. So it's slowly working through that backlog. So that's really good. Now I'm going to, actually, this is almost like the old days here when we would be in studio. I have a guest in studio with me today. And actually it's in my study, but it's in studio, I guess. And I would like to welcome my grandson, Keegan. Hi, Keegan.
Hello.
Okay. And you don't have to wave that the people can't see you on the, okay. But yeah, and speak right into, we're sharing a mic here, so it'll be a little bit cumbersome here for us right now. But the reason I had Keegan on is because he and his brother Bryce went to the range with me yesterday. And you guys may remember, gosh, longtime listeners will remember, I think you were 8 years old the last time you were on the show with me. And so now you're how old?
13.
13 years old now. And so it's been 5 years since he's been on the show with me. And I actually, I want to say, if you recall, I asked you a question last time because we were out shooting when he was eight. And I asked him what his favorite gun was. And your answer was?
The Uzi.
And that's what made heads explode all over Ann Arbor, that there was a 8-year-old talking about shooting the Uzi. So yesterday, though, we went to the range and we shot 22s, right? And we actually had a lot of fun. We went through, between the two of them, probably 1,000 rounds of ammo. And what we did is we shot pistols instead of long guns this time. So what guns did we shoot yesterday and what did you like the best?
We shot the Mark II, the Mark IV, the Ruger, and then two revolvers. My favorite was the Mark IV.
Yeah, the Ruger Mark IV Hunter. Actually, we shot a very unusual gun, too. Do you remember that one? What is that one?
The Whammo.
We shot, and I told him, you can rest assured you are probably the only kids in the United States that yesterday were shooting a 1959 Whammo 22. And as you recall, I got it from a listener. I had purchased it from him. I hope he's still listening. And I purchased a Whammo. It's actually, they call it kind of semi, it's a single action. Well, it's a semi-automatic in that you open the chamber, you put in the round, you pull the trigger, and it will fire and eject a round, and then you have to put another one in manually. So it's kind of like half semi-automatic. And I don't know if you guys, those of you who are new to the show, know the story about the Whammo pistol, but back in the 50s, the folks at Whammo, one of the principal owners was a big hunter. And he thought, you know, I like guns a lot. I think we should make a gun. And so here he is. They're making hula hoops and frisbees at the time. And he says, I'm going to make a pistol. So they go out and they make a pistol. And it's this kind of half semi-automatic pistol. Looks like a ray gun. It's really kind of modern looking. Isn't it? It's pretty cool looking gun. And he starts selling it in the back of comic books for $14. Okay. So, you know, along with your X-ray specs and stuff like that, you could order a 22 pistol from the back of a comic book. They deliver it to your door. Okay. Well, a couple of years into the production of this, somebody apparently at the government picked up a comic book and said, what is this? And they contacted him and they said, you can't do that. You can't make and sell guns without, you know, government permission and stuff. So they ended up selling the design to Daisy, and Daisy turned it into a pellet gun. So, but it's kind of fun. So we shot that. And we also shot, do you remember what the other ones were? It's a...
Yeah, the Ranger High Standard.
Yeah, these are 22 revolvers that are, they look like they're a single action revolver. They look like a Ruger Single Six or something like that. But in reality, they have a swing out cylinder. They hold 9 shots and they are double action. So you can shoot them double action or single action. So the guys were banging through the rounds with that thing because it was holding 9. And they were having a competition to see who could shoot the red dot out of the center of. And you did pretty well, didn't you? Both of you did.
Yeah. I got pretty close to doing it. My brother, but.
Little brotherly competition there. But they had a lot of fun doing that. We shot the Mark II and the Ruger Mark II, which has the better sights on it. But you like the Hunter too, the Mark IV, don't you? So we had a lot of fun. And that kind of set the tone for the rest of the evening. Because after dinner, what did we do then?
Oh, yeah, we went down to the safe and looked at guns for a couple hours.
Now, my wife calls that, if I do that by myself, she calls it, are you down visiting your guns? And I go, yes, I am visiting my guns. But yesterday I had all 3 grandsons down there and we emptied the safe out, didn't we? We had every gun out of the safe. And which ones of those did you like?
I liked the 50 Beowulf, and then there was some old guns from World War II that I liked.
And I got to tell you, now you take a look at the size. Now, how tall are you now?
I'm about 5'8".
5'8", which is actually the size of a lot of guys during World War II, okay? When you see the uniforms that guys wore during World War II and stuff, you see a lot of guys that were 5'8", 5'10", stuff like that. Bryce a little taller than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably 5'10", or something like that. And so I handed them a Garand, okay? And it was like, oh my, what was your reaction to it?
The gun was almost taller than me. It was pretty heavy.
And I said, can you imagine walking around Europe for months and months carrying that gun? And then same thing with the Mauser, which was the German gun. And then we did the, what else did we do? We did Mosin-Nagant, the old Russian guns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those were fun. The SKS, you had fun with that. Of course, the Uzi you liked. So, but we had a lot of fun. And I want to say, I don't have to worry about this with my kids and my grandkids because they like guns. And this is something we need to do with your kids or grandkids, because they need to understand it's okay to like guns. Now, I did have to give you some briefings about what aren't you going to talk about when you're on your Zoom meetings for school.
Don't show any guns. Don't talk about them.
Yep. So, because they're still, he's in school down in Milan, and they're still doing this, virtual kind of stuff. So, at any rate, it is important to pass on this legacy to the kids. That's how I learned from my grandpa, and they're learning it from theirs, and their dad, too. And so, next time we're going to go out, what are we going to shoot next time?
We're going to shoot 9mm.
There we go. So we're going to do, we're going to use a Beretta 92 FS and a Smith & Wesson 5906. So we'll have a lot of fun with that, won't we? So, and I have enough ammo, so we're okay to be able to do that. At any rate, I want to thank you for coming today. And actually, you got to get ready to go to your hockey game pretty soon here. So thanks for coming today, Keegan.
Yep. Bye, everyone.
Okay. So that was Keegan, and he has been listening to the show since he was little. Gosh, I think about it now. He was probably, he's 13. I've been doing the show 11 years, so he was in diapers when we started out with this. At any rate, let's see. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti on the phone. Oh, a question for Keegan, if he can come back. Hold on a second. Let me see. Keegan, come on back. Okay. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, hi. I think my grandkids would like to know. I'd like to ask Keegan if he could say, what's it like having a cool grandpa? Because my grandkids, they miss that. They'd like to know what that's like.
Okay. Ask him again, because I just gave him the earbud. So go ahead.
Hey, what's it like having such a cool grandpa? My grandkids would like to know.
It's just amazing. You used to go to the range almost any time you want, just shoot guns and have fun.
There you go. That's great. Hey, you have a great day, Keegan. Nice talking to you.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for that setup. That was really nice. And I got to say, you're probably just as cool a grandpa, too, because I know that you like guns as well. So let's see. So, Ed, you still on? Nope. Okay, Ed's gone. Let's see. So I need to put up the chat view so I can see. So we really did have a good time. And I want to say, now, Keegan's gone now, but I look at those things more of an obligation. Well, actually, they're fun, of course, but it's an obligation to pass this on down. I pay attention to, of course, so they understand gun safety. They understand gun operation. And actually, I pay attention to which guns they really like, because those are the ones that those guys are going to end up with when I'm too old to shoot them or on the wrong side of the lawn. So at any rate, it's kind of a legacy kind of thing in that you think that and a lot of times I mention this for people, and I actually got a call from a listener this week. Actually, I got an email from him. I used to work with him, and listener Carl, and he wants to, I'm going to go out and look at some guns that his father passed on to him a few years ago, and he just doesn't know much about them, but we're going to look at them and see what they're worth and see what he can do with them. One of them's, I'm anxious to see this. One of them is he mentioned, he goes, oh, my dad built this gun. you know, with the scope and the stock and stuff. And I'm thinking because of the age of his dad, it's probably a sporterized, like a old M1903 or an Enfield or something that's been sporterized. And so that was something that was real popular back in after World War One, and then after World War Two, when guys would take the surplus guns, which you could get unbelievably cheap. If you haven't noticed, you look at these old gun ads, and there are things like in the back of a Outdoor Life magazine, they're selling a Springfield M1903 for $13 or something like that. And it's like, holy cow. And the guys, they were familiar with the bolt actions. They were familiar with the semi-autos, but those were still frontline kind of things. So they didn't use them as much, but they would get a Springfield M1903 and they would put a new stock on it with a, you know, with a Monte Carlo stock and a high cheek comb, and they'd cut it off. They would do their own engraving on it and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And now people nowadays, I get a kick. People, they turn their nose up at those things and they go, oh, geez, well, this has been ruined. It doesn't have any antique value. Maybe it doesn't. But, you know, like for listener Carl, this was his father's gun, and his father spent a lot of time working on it and stuff. So it's got meaning and value to him. I always say when it comes to guns, you know, we always say, oh, well, they're a good investment. They don't lose value and stuff like that. However, they really only are a good investment if you intend to sell them or whatever. They actually are more of an investment in your family and in your country. In your personal history and legacy, because I know that when I am too old to go hunting and stuff anymore, my kids are going to like using the rifles that I used. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember. Look, Dad used to carry that just like that. And look, it's got all the bluing worn off from his hand when he would carry it and stuff like that. So at any rate, I just thought it was worth telling you guys about that, because nowadays, it is almost, and I hated to have to warn them about, you know, okay, you don't talk about the guns, you don't show your targets on your Zoom meeting from school or stuff like that, because of the way people all react to this kind of stuff. And now it's even worse than ever. I want to say this actually bothered me a lot this week. It's an article, and it was written by M Live, a guy named Sam Dodge on M Live. And what they're talking about is that the Michigan Senate was reaffirming the Second Amendment. They were saying the United States Constitution recognizes the right to keep and bear arms, and specifically the Michigan Constitution recognizes the right to keep and bear arms and their use in self-defense. Okay? So what has happened? So they wanted to make a resolution that said, we will not go along with any federal laws that try to usurp our constitutional rights, either the Second Amendment rights or the Michigan constitutional rights for the right to keep and bear arms. And you know what happens? What's the first thing you hear? All the Democrats out there, there's this Erica Geis from Taylor. She's spouting off, calling it, oh, these are insurrectionists. You're an insurrectionist. Well, I want to say, and they go into it. We'll talk about this in a bit. But if you take a look at what happened on January 6th at the Capitol building, which, by the way, had a lot of people in it who were Antifa and otherwise, maybe they were insurrectionists, but not from a right or conservation or conservative standpoint. These are the people that are out there trying to create anarchy. Okay, and you find that out, by the way, some of the ones who were arrested. Now, there were other people that were arrested, too, that should not have been doing what they were doing. But the point is that they have used that as, by the way, there were absolutely no guns found on any of those people. But boy, they are talking about that as a anti-gun thing. Well, we've got to tighten our gun laws because look at what they did on January 6th at the Capitol building. And that's why they've got the barbed wire and fences up and kept the Army Reserve there and stuff, the National Guard, so that they can protect them from those conservatives with guns. Well, they weren't conservatives with guns. They were a mob group, okay? But now then they also go on and they talk about April and in the Michigan Capitol. And so this person says, something just fell down. Let's see, this person, Erica Geis, a Democrat from Taylor, called this Senate bill insurrectionist. This resolution is 4 pages of dark insurrection-laden language and military support, militia support, that challenges the laws of the land, she said from the Senate floor. It's a resolution that says, if we don't like laws, we'll meet you at the Michigan border with our guns. It's incredible how fast you'll do anything to protect your guns. No, Ms. Geis, I got to say, it's incredible how fast you guys will do and try to find any reason to try to take our guns away from us. Some of the other ones went on. She said, we had rioters in that space up there, pointing to the upper deck of the Senate, and said they were hovering over us with their firearms, literally telling us, we're here to make sure you vote right. Well, I want to say, and by the way, then she goes, they've done nothing to protect us since then. Well, they actually did. They've now said you can't open carry in the state capitol, okay? But you can still conceal carry. So, that's not enough for them. They've got to be able to they can't have guns. And there's other people all around the state. What happens is that anything that is a bad visual from a gun standpoint, and the article for this story, they showed a guy standing in front of the Capitol with his, you know, AR-15 and his black vest with armor plate and stuff like that. And it's the visuals are when people go, and I've said this before, when people go to these Second Amendment rights marches on the Capitol and stuff like that, it's fine to be there and to have hundreds or thousands of people there that are saying, we vote and we matter and we care about our gun rights. But showing up with your AR-15s and AKs and stuff like that is not going to convince anybody. It's strictly going to be a bad visual, and it's going to scare a lot of the people with the D's after their names, okay? And scaring them means that you're going to have legislation that we're not going to approve of, okay? So I got to say, and if that's not scary enough for you, like the thing, the HR1, the bill about the voters voting changes that they want to do, and HR 127, all the things they want to do, they also want to change and get rid of the filibuster. So what happens is we could sit there and go, okay, we're 50-50 with Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker, but you have to have 60 with a filibuster. And they're going, oh, no, we got to change that rule. And we're going to tack anti-gun bills onto budget bills and things that will just sail through because we have to keep the government going. And so they will try to attach them to other bills so that if they pass, the anti-gun bills will pass. So there's a lot of attempts out there to try and change things and change the rules and laws on how we vote, change the rules and laws on how they vote, and how we protect the constitutional rights we have. So I got to say, I quickly went from guns to politics there. And we'll get back more into some more guns after the break. But I started out on a good topic, and I'd like to hear your stories. Have you gone to the range lately? Have you taken your grandkids or your kids to the range? Because that is the kind of thing, that is what's going to make a difference. That is what's going to protect our rights as the future generations out there recognize them. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And we're going to focus on guns in this segment here because we did get into politics and actually not just, you know, politics related to guns, but the entire attitude towards it's almost like they are intimidating us to shut up, because anytime somebody says something now, well, that's, you're an insurrectionist, you're a white supremacist, you're a blah blah blah. They have finally found, I mean, they've been going at this for the last couple of years. Everything is racist, 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 racist. Okay. And now, well, now it's white supremacists and now it's insurrectionists. And so, you know, think about that. And be, when you read these stories and stuff like that, look at them with a jaded eye, because that's where they're going with these things. And they are trying to intimidate us to not support our position for guns, to not support our position for concealed carry and things like that. So at any rate, so I wanted to talk about concealed carry, and there's a lot of things going on. There's more states are passing the constitutional carry, although I did see a couple of states that are where, like the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations against the constitutional carry, because they're saying, well, no, we make sure that, you know, when we give people a permit, we regularly do it because we're a shall issue state, then we've got some control over making sure that the good guys get the permits and the bad people that shouldn't have permits don't have permits. Do you think that's going to stop the people who shouldn't have permits from carrying guns? Now, I'm sure that the drug lords and other people like that, the cartels, the drug gangs and stuff like that, oh, I'm sure they won't carry the guns if you won't issue them a permit, because they didn't get a permit anyway, idiots, okay? We've got Mark from Hull on the phone with a comment about shooting at the range. Hi, Mark.
Hi, hello, Dick. Great show today. It was great having your grandson Keegan on, and you know, I started out with BB guns, and my father was a fly boy in the Air Force, so he shot a lot of bigger guns in the air, but it was funny because he couldn't hit the broadside of a target on the rifle range, and that's why he joined the Air Force, because the drill sergeant said, well, I don't know what we're going to do with you, Don, you can't hit the broadside of a barn. So he became a fly boy. But so growing up, I didn't have, you know, the hands-on father or grandfather type firearm that you do like with your grandkids, you know, that camaraderie and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it was kind of like some of my friends that had fathers or maybe grandfathers that were into firearms. That's kind of where I came into learning a little bit of that, you know.
Okay. Well, and I know that you have followed this path with your own daughter, haven't you?
Yes, and that's why I'm calling today, because it's ironic you brought up the range talk with your grandson Keegan and his brother, and you know, and I'd like to go and look at my guns too, like, and that's funny how you were talking about that, and I'll take them all out and look at them and you know, and coo over them and kind of thing like that. But yeah, my daughter's got some great training. I got some great news. Her new friend, Cody, who's a honorably discharged Marine, and he's specialized in firearms, so he knows them all the way up to the, you know, the M60s, you name it. He is like, he was top-notch on the rifle range, scored very high. He's actually trying out for the Navy SEALs right now. He's re-enlisting.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, he's going to see if he can make the cut. Right now he's going through the physical stuff. He's not sure if he'll make the grade, but he's re-enlisting. He's due to ship out, but he's training for SEALs right now. But she's been getting some great practice time with him. He taught her everything about these two firearms. She's one of the newly women that came on board. You know, a lot of women here in the last year, first-time gun purchasers.
Right,
and,
right.
So, yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm saying, right, a lot of new first-time purchasers, and a large percentage of them are women.
Yes, and she's getting really confident and comfortable with her firearms. She's when we purchased those firearms about a year ago from Rural King here in Heartland, Michigan, we got matching pairs of TX-22s, Taurus's 22, you know, caliber. Yep. Pistol, and then I got her the XDS 9mm Springfield Armory. And so she's been working with both of those. She really likes the TX because it's a larger gun, a little bit larger, more like a full size, but it's cheaper to operate, of course, for ammunition, and it gets her good training. And Cody's teaching her how to dry fire, how to break the gun down, how to clean it. And she says she's getting very confident, so she does a lot of sighting and dry firing in her spare time. And she's getting out regularly, probably every couple weeks. And he does training, and he also does the classes as well.
Okay, so good.
And so that's great news. And I just want to say for all the women out there that are listening to Trigger Talk today, we need your voices to be heard to go against the onslaught of taking down the Second Amendment they're trying to do and with all the concealed carry. And I'll leave it at that, and great show.
Well, thanks, Mark. And I know that and you've been rightly proud of your daughter. And I remember that as you were going through, and it's good to hear from you because it's been a while since you've called in. And I remember when you were going through buying first the TX-22s so you could practice, you know, and get her acclimated to shooting with the. Now, she likes the bigger TX, but also it has like less recoil, and it's like you said, cheaper to shoot and all that kind of stuff. And then when you got your XDSs, I remember how excited you were about that. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and you can just tell when I talk to her confidence in her voice, and the main thing was as women out there, you really got to be in today's day and age, and this goes for even males, but the females are really important. You know, to have some sort of protection, whether you're going to be in your home, and then also you want to learn, take the courses, learn the proper protocols, all the legalities, the do's and don'ts. Of course, if you're going to travel with the firearm, you have to know, like my daughter does a lot of flying and traveling as a zookeeper. She's gone out of the country several times. So I said, well, if you're going to take a firearm with you, you got to know all those loopholes and all that and crossing state lines. So I'm just proud of all the women out there that are manning up and becoming gun owners and get trained out there, ladies, and help us men out here become a voice. We want your voices as well.
Very good. Well, thank you for listening, Mark, and for all you do, because I hear you call into Theron's show periodically, and you are up on everything. Mark is one of the guys that is constantly contacting his representatives and senators and people like that to let them know how we all we think and how we vote, right?
That's correct. And I'm due to call in on their own show. It's been a while, and his show and some of the other shows. So I'm getting around to that. You know, with all this the CCP virus that's affected everybody, it had different effects on everybody. So I was kind of laying back on calling in, concentrating on important matters, family, friends, circulating around this and the onslaught, especially after the takedown of the election. So yeah. I'm getting back on my feet now, and all guns are firing, and we're gonna hit it hard and uphold our liberties and freedoms.
Well, good. Thanks for calling today, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye now.
Yep. And this is kind of fun. I mean, it is interesting. When you do a radio show, it becomes more of a family kind of thing. We have people that call that I have been talking to now for 11 years on the radio, and Mark for several years. Mark's actually invited Theron and I went up to the Friends of the NRA dinner up at the Howell Gun Club and stuff like that. I mean, you get to know people, and actually it's kind of sad when it's when you're not hearing from them, because it's kind of like, gosh, I hope they're okay, you know. And nowadays with the potential for illness and stuff like that, You worry about that. So I'm glad to hear from Mark. Okay, so I was going to talk a little bit about carry guns. Okay, and I have actually, I had to laugh. I've got a note here. It says, call Richard, a friend of mine, who was one of the ones who a few weeks ago, so he said, hey, I want to come and see some of your guns because I want to get a gun. So he came up, we looked at Glocks and we looked at all sorts of different things. And I said, well, you know, for your first gun, you're going to want one. What do you want to do with it? Well, like for home defense and stuff like that. And so he ended up buying himself a Glock Model 17. Because he showed me it. I was out snow plowing. He goes, come on, I got to show you something. And he came in and he showed it to me. And then he called me last week and he goes, hey, I got another gun. It is contagious. And I'm giving you all permission to get other guns, okay? If you can tell your significant other, your husband or your wife, and you go, well, Dick says that I can get another gun. I mean, you know. So at any rate, he picked up one of the Smith & Wesson Shield EZs in 9mm also, because it's easier to rack and stuff. And so I just want, and it's a little smaller. So he's thinking concealed carry already. And now he's actually wanting to go to the range. I got to call him back today. And these next few days, as it gets warmer, we're going to go out to the range and get him shooting those things. So we have got Tom from Detroit on the phone about the 5.7x28. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hello, Dick. Hey, I found an article about that Ruger pistol in the March 2020 American Rifleman, and it looks to me like it's somewhat underpowered. They said it was fun to shoot at the range. It, you know, it didn't have a lot of recoil, and it was real lightweight, you know, with the 20-round magazine. They said it could be a good house gun. I guess the main thing about that cartridge is it's just something to go along with the, they have the sub gun. I think it's the FN makes a sub gun.
They do.
Law enforcement overseas uses. Yeah. So I suppose that would be good for, you know, they wouldn't have to worry too much about over penetration.
Well, actually, those rounds are, and they're 5.7. They are typically, and actually they make some that are almost like the steel core penetrators that are on the M855, 5.56 round, that they are known and actually penetrate armor. And so they have some military only rounds. They have ones that you can't get from the civilian standpoint because the shape, the velocity, and the energy of it is actually quite a penetrator. So
yeah, I think that muzzle velocity is only about 1,700 feet per second with the I don't know if it's a four. They will shoot a 40 grain VMAX, which I think would be, you know, pretty good for home defense. You know, I found another in the, there's a 22 TCM. There's an article about that in the August 2017 American Rifleman. That has better, and you can make the brass out of 223 cases.
Yeah, that is an interesting round out there. And I do think that you can, there's actually some commercial rounds that are available from the company that makes the TCM round.
Armscor is the only one that makes it. There's no Sammy Daddy, or Sammy Daddy, Daddy, data for that round. Rock Island Armory makes the pistol. It's 1911 style, but it comes with a drop-in 9mm barrel too, so you can shoot either one. They want $960 for it retail. That's in the 2017. But yeah, that's got a muzzle velocity with a 40 grain VMAX of about 2,000 feet per second. So it's, you know, it's
and
quite a bit.
Actually, I saw, interestingly enough, the military I read an article this week. They just set a military standard for the 5.728 or 5.7 by 28 round for a military standard for it this past week. So I think that there's more interest in it. I mean, we kind of figured this was going to happen. For a long time, FN made them. They made the that PS90, and then they also had the pistol. And that was the only game out there. Well, now there are a ton of people starting to make the gun. And in fact, I think it was Kel-Tec has one now that actually uses that round or the magazine like the PS90 has, where they lay horizontal to the, you know, to the direction of fire, and then it turns them at the last second. I mean, and that is all going to bring down the cost on ammo, and actually it has already made for more ammo availability too, and including for varmints and stuff like that. So
yeah, that CP-33 that basically uses a double stack.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found an article about that too. That it show they show a picture of the man. I still can't quite figure out how it works. It looks like it has two springs in there. But yeah, that, you know, they're talking about one of the, you know, I looked at a few articles. They, you know, basically they said for self defense, the 9mm, you know, is better. That's, you know, pretty much was the consensus as far as, you know, the pistol goes.
Yeah.
There is a rifle for that TCM, a bolt action, that the article claims they had a lot of feeding problems with it, but they were getting 2,700 feet per second out of the 22-inch barrel. Those subguns, you can buy the semi-automatic versions, but they're getting, you know, they only have a 16-inch barrel. So
yeah, I got to say there seems to be a lot of fun going on with experimentation with different rounds. There are so many different rounds coming out in the rifle range. And I got to say, you know, what is it? The 27, 28, 29, 30, 26, 25, 24 Noslers, and then all the different Creedmoors, the 6mm Creedmoor, the 6.5, 6.8. There is no shortage of new stuff out there. And I suppose that's good because it gives us good reasons to still buy things, right? So.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, you know. Tom, well, thank you for the call today. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, bye. So, you know, and when we're talking, and interesting, Tom, the discussion went back into the 9mm for carry and stuff. And I was reading an article, and it said, this is the name of it, the concealed carry revolver, is it still relevant? And I guess you got to sit there and go, oh, I think it is, but why are, you know, because everybody, and like I said, that friend of mine, Richard, when he first saw my guns all laid out, he goes, oh, I don't want one of those. And he was looking at the revolvers, and I said, oh, well, wait a minute, pick it up, feel it. And he goes, oh, this is nice. Yeah, I like the trigger. This is great. And stuff like that. So maybe there'll be one of those in his future. But there's a stigma. Everybody thinks that revolvers are obsolete or antiques or something, and they're not. And I got to say, especially, now think about this when it comes to most defensive shootings, okay? Almost all of them are two or three shots, okay? Now, we hear about the ones where there are three or four people that are attacking somebody and somebody had to shoot 12 times or 15 times or something like that. And there's always the exceptions like that. But the majority of them are two or three shots. And so the majority of revolvers are five or six rounds, okay? Now, there are some that are, Smith & Wesson makes one. I think it's called a PD-327 that's like eight rounds, a 357 mag. Well, that's as much as a 1911, or that's as much as a Springfield XDS, a standard one. Now, the Hellcat sure carries a lot more, but a standard Springfield XDS carries like 7 rounds, okay? So you're pretty much in the ballpark, not to mention that if you are firing a revolver, and most of the popular ones these days, there's the Colt D-frames, the Ruger LCRs, the Ruger SP-101s, the Smith & Wesson J-frames, the Taurus Model 85s and stuff, they're principally chambered in 38 Special / 357, okay? So you can be firing a round that is, I want to say, twice the energy of a 380, okay? Okay, so yeah, you only hold 5 of them or 6 of them, but each one of those has twice the energy, okay? And I got to say, there is no question that now people question a 38 Special as being a stopping round, but it is every bit as good as a 9mm, and a 357 Magnum is considerably stronger than a 9mm. And so I want to say the lower capacity could be a big deal. I always carry speed loaders or speed strips in my pocket when I'm carrying a revolver. And so you can have extra rounds and stuff, but realize that most of the time, those 5 or 6 rounds are, if you even have an occasion, a defensive occasion to use it, it will be adequate. Okay. Now, you also, a lot of people really feel, oh yeah, but I like having 15 rounds, like a Glock 19 has, or I like having 12 rounds like Springfield Hellcat has, or something like that. And that, for the time, it may, I suppose it's better to have it and not need it than not have it and need it. But virtually all the time, I want to say probably 95% of the time, the gun isn't fired anyway in a defensive situation. Pulling and having the gun is what disarms the situation. So the 2 to 3 shots that you would need, and you've got 5 or 6 in the gun, is adequate. And there are a lot of very small, easy to conceal pistols that, especially, by the way, now they do have this the Smith & Wesson Shield EZ that makes it easier to rack and stuff now. But if you have hand problems and cannot rack a slide, then the revolvers are the only game in town. And you don't need to feel undergunned by having a decent snub-nose revolver. And that's why, actually, the Colt just added the King Cobra back in. And you know, Ruger's adding new guns, Smith & Wesson, Taurus is adding new guns. And so while they don't get all of the, advertising and pictures in the magazines and stuff that the latest, Walther PDP semi-automatic has or something like that, they are still very viable, and they should not be discounted. So I just wanted to make that clear to everybody. I carry a 357 Magnum a lot, and a Ruger SP-101. I also carry a Charter Arms Bulldog and 44 Special. So there's different kinds of ones you can carry, and mix it up for fun. I accessorize, just like purses and belts. I accessorize with holsters and pistols. So at any rate, it's been fun today talking, and we will talk more next week. This is Dick Cupkey at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.